So we have gone through the first six on the tree. Briefly, I want to refer you to the back page of this week's outline, the one that's entitled Structures on the Tree. And on the right side of this page are the three triangles. The upper triangle is referred to as the supernal triangle. The three below that, which comprise Hesed, Geburah, and Tiferet, is called the ethical triangle. And the triangle below that, which is the ones that we'll talk about next, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, is called the astral triangle. So I want to just mention this briefly. We are talking about the 10 spheres, and we have mentioned that there are 22 paths that interconnect the spheres, but there are many, many other structures on the tree that are worth giving your attention to at one point or another. So back to the page on the first page, color page of correspondences. Let's now draw our attention to sphere number 7, which is Netzach. Netzach's planetary association is Venus. And so this is the sphere of love. This is the sphere of joy and ecstasy. It's where our creative forces once again begin to flow out with great force. Now they've been honed down by the spheres above them into something that is getting closer and closer to actual creation. The three spheres that are within this astral triangle are pretty close to the earth plane. And so while they're still pretty abstract, they're getting closer to things that we can understand and that we can relate to. Now, I mentioned earlier about the dual focus of most pagan practices. This is where we begin to see that the essence of that ecstatic practice, the dancing, drumming, chanting, and so forth. All of those things that we do in our gatherings that are of that nature. And these are the ones that really raise up the energy, are from the sphere of Netzach.
Can I add something to that?
Yes.
Netzach is also the sphere of differentiation. If you think of light going into a prism and coming out as a rainbow. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure what set of correspondences includes that, but the rainbow, not just the color green, but the rainbow is part of the experience and image of Netzach. See, what else can we say about Netzach here that would be relevant in this? Well,
just move on.
Well, move on. We do have some time. Question.
When we were up at 2 and 3, there was a male and a female relation. So does that follow down the two pillars?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Not exactly.
It does until it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a strong male female association between Chokhma and Bina, and also between Hesed and Geburah, and We definitely do see a strong female association with NETSOC and a strong male association with Hod.
Even though the image of Hod
is a hermaphrodite.
Right.
So, and if you want to, if we want to skip a little to another correspondence page, the magical images, you can see that there are distinct gender associations with most of the spheres, and the hermaphrodite is a little bit different, but still an understandable part of the whole here. Moving over to glorious, splendorous Hod, number 8, the orange sphere. Yes?
Can you just like discuss the victory part of NETSOC? I don't get that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I know what victory means to me, and it's, you know, but
it's, that's a tough one.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, can you say something about that? Because you aspected the sphere of NETSOC for the first of the climbing the trees that we did.
The only thing I could ever figure out about victory in NETSOC is that it's a victory to get there, whether you're going up or down, because it's complicated.
So much else has been refined away before we get to the point where we reach this this spot. So
yeah, if you're going up the tree from Malkuth, mm-hmm. by the time you get to NETSOC, it is a victory of sorts, possibly because the path from Hod to NETSOC, that horizontal path mm-hmm. that goes across, right. is frequently referred to as the dark night of the soul.
Yes, that's right. I rather like that. I was thinking in terms of, pardon me?
Are all of those lines dark nights of the soul?
Yeah.
It's been said, yeah.
It's been
though,
realistically,
it's the one close enough.
Yeah, it's the one close enough you might
sweat
actually do.
Uh huh.
it's also the one where the right pillar and the left pillar intersect the middle pillar. So you've got that.
Yes. You're talking about the 27th path.
No, we're talking about the dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
And why that
and,
would be
uh-huh.
more so, because it's almost like you're more aware of the separation.
Right.
Because
right.
of the intersection
mm-hmm.
with the middle pillar, which comes directly from Keter through Tiferet.
Hmm.
And the crossbars, all three are referred to as being great rites. It's like, you know, you've got the yin and the yang, and it's all wrapped in itself. Well, here they're pulled apart, and they're attracted to each other,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of give and take. But here's where at the level, as Mark said, it's close enough to the earth that you can almost feel it. But we still aren't incarnate yet. We're still
mm-hmm.
aren't in bodies. So it's
mm-hmm.
so it's like.
And
it's like hot and bothered right up to the point, but we still aren't physical enough to
mm-hmm.
actually do anything about it.
And also,
the
just
push and pulls were up there, but it was like, oh yeah, it's theoretical force and enough form to hold it together so that it can feel forceful. And then the warrior and the benevolent ruler, it's more civilized and ethical. The triangle says,
mm-hmm.
but here we're down here. We're getting down and dirty, but we're still not allowed to actually, excuse the graphic nature. And I actually was the first person to ask that song.
Ah, okay.
Back in.
Yes, you can.
In the old days. This brings to mind something. We have been going down the tree on the lightning path, but there is. The path goes the other way as well, and it's called the path of return when we go up the tree from Malkuth to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, as people advance spiritually, we don't get much past NETSOC. So it's if we can make it through our through the real dark night of the soul, and not, you know, there are a lot of opportunities for this kind of an experience, but people who are taking the actual degree paths up to up the tree, they getting as far as Tifereth, the sun, that's pretty much out of this incarnation. That's some stuff that's more special than most people are capable of doing.
Is that the ascended masters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So Hod, that's my stone favorite. That I have done the sphere of Hod twice in our climbing the tree rituals, the 2003 one and the one in 2009. Yeah.
Was it 2009? Okay. Yeah.
And this is the sphere that is associated with the planet Mercury. It's we can recall the god Mercury or the god Hermes, who have similar characteristics in this way. This is the sphere that order is pulled out of chaos, that the systems of information that are pouring in from NetSoc are channeled into things that can be codified, that can be understood and agreed upon. It is that part, as I mentioned before, it is that part of our ritual practice that is set down on paper, that people agree that we're going to do this now and this next and what have you. It's the thing that gives the structures that we pour our energy into. And it is those things that allow us to visualize what the end purpose of our rituals will be. So it's a very important thing, but you know, if you did a completely Hod-based ritual, it would be dry as hell. There would be nothing to it. And by the same token, if you did a strictly Netzach-based ritual, strictly ecstatic and dancing around, it would make you feel really good, but it wouldn't do anything. So only by combining the active principles of both spheres are we capable of bringing the balance into our practices that give it the juice to actually do something. Now, the next place that we go to from Hod is the sphere of Yasod. And this is the place where our focus really is when we're doing magic. This is the plane of the moon, and it is also the astral plane. So as I mentioned in last week's session, or last session, the astral plane contains that substance, that mysterious substance that we can act upon with our thoughts to create things. And anytime we're doing something creative, we are right there in the astral plane. And our dreams live there, and our minds themselves, quite opposed to the wetware that's our brains, our minds live in the astral. And in the images that we create, and even the way that we perceive the world is really something that is part of the sphere of Yasod. And this is how if you have ever experienced any kind of intoxication, you can see that perception of the world is a completely subjective thing, and can be changed by by some external means, or you can change it through an internal means. This is the changing your consciousness at will that we speak of when we talk of magic. So at this point, we are almost to the point of creation. And I want to draw your attention to the word foundation on the names and titles. That's what Yesod literally means. And in Israel, when they build a house, they build a Yesod underneath it, the way we build a foundation. And it's called foundation because the world does not come into being just in the way a house does not come into being unless there is a foundation beneath it. So the foundation that is created by the image in Yesod becomes manifest when we put the energy into it. And to be, you know, perfectly mundane about this, when you design a house, when you begin thinking about it, it exists in Yesod. And when you draw plans, it's moved a little closer to being in reality. But it's only when you actually start putting bricks together and nailing boards and so forth that it becomes manifest. But that idea, that foundation within the sphere of Yesod has to exist before anything can manifest. So they are interdependent in this way. And our reality totally depends on the fact that this plane of the moon, this Yesod, exists for us to create the formations that underlie all physical matter. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good, okay.
So is that the second, I know it's jumping ahead, but the word astral gets tossed around all the time.
It does, yeah.
Is it the same as the world of Yetzirah?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
Okay, so, well...
That's good.
Yes
and
no.
Yes and no. Yeah, next session will be
okay.
the four worlds, but
for now,
but
I'm listening to yes.
But the world... Okay,
so
all right, it's yes.
Okay.
It's yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For the rest of this month.
Right.
Good.
Next month we have four new worlds.
Right.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, train now arriving at Station Malkuth. So, everyone, the doors will open now. Please exit at this station. This is the culmination of all of the trouble that we've gone through here to go from the top of the tree down to the bottom.
But
Yes, and so, let me see. Keter is the Malkuth of the unmanifest. How about that one?
Didn't the Beatles have a song about that? When I get to the bottom, I get back to the top of the slide.
Keter is the Malkuth of the unmanifest. So, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I mean, I'll just say in passing that the common wisdom is that the tree is a holographic structure, and that there are trees within trees, and that at the top of every tree is the bottom of the tree above it, and vice versa.
It's the Mobius of Kabbalah.
Yes, okay, I like that. I'm not sure how to completely wrap my mind, around these concepts, but you know, the more that you think about it, converse about it, read about it, and so forth, the easier it is to see how some of these things go together. Another thing from Dion Fortune that I ran across today is that there are some things like the idea of the Supreme Being at the top of the tree at Keter that are unknown to us, but they're not unknowable. Really have no way of understanding total supreme godhood through our intellect. However, by becoming involved with the symbols that all that are in the tree, layer after layer, and meditating on these things, it's sort of like we can place ourselves on our own shoulders and get higher and see things that we would otherwise not be able to see. And once we have seen them, bringing this information down into the intellectual sphere is an almost impossible challenge. And if you read the writings of mystics, you can see that they have used all manner of descriptions for those things that cannot be seen with the naked eye, that can be seen only with the spiritual eye. And a lot of them don't make too much sense unless you've been there. And then if you've been there, it makes perfect sense. Yes, sir.
Can I read a paragraph?
Do.
Which is Kabbalah.
Okay.
It is said that the tree is upside down, having its roots in heaven. This means that Malkuth is the top of the tree, not its bottom. The text from the Sefer Yetzirah reads, "The tenth path is called the resplendent intelligence because it is exalted above every head and sits upon the throne of Bina. This not only establishes Malkut as the top of the tree, but expresses the presence of the goddess in the physical world, and therefore its divinity."
Okay. You know, in a sense, this is the purpose of creation is the physical world. And the physical world is not just this spinning, lovely green and blue marble that we live on, but it is the universe without limit, and everything contained within it, and everything that can be conceived within it is the physical universe.
I guess in the sense that we think of what we aspire to as being, you know, the top. Mm-hmm. I want to get to the top. Keter aspires to manifestation in Malkuth.
Mm-hmm.
Malkuth aspires to Venus. So it is just reversible.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the process of descending the tree on the lightning path, taking the path into creation, is also constantly going back up, just like an electricity does nothing unless you have a circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the circuit of creation is also the circuit that takes it back to the source. And the name of the spiritual experience, and this is another one of the things on this week's correspondences handout. The spiritual experience of Keter is reunion with the source. It is not called just the source. The reunion is a very important component of that. Because we are, in fact, going back to that again, over and over and over again, as we are created and recreated and uncreated. So, now that I've filled your heads with all of this stuff, I'm going to let you relax a little bit.
Go ahead and play it.
I'm going to go ahead and play it. Yeah, it takes about 10 minutes or so. And we have about that, yes. So this is...